Now I would like to bring a message on the subject of being made free in Christ Jesus. Being made free in Christ Jesus. Our text is found in John, the 8th chapter. I'd like to read verses 32 through 36. Our Lord speaking, and He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set or make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." Listen who they're speaking to. They're speaking to Jesus Christ, and they're telling Jesus that they've never been in bondage, and they were in bondage at this very moment. They answer him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Some people believe that they are free in this life. They can do as they please. And many people do that. They think that they're free. But God's Word has much to say about who's free and who's not free. Now this nation, this man who was speaking here, or these people who were speaking to the Lord, they did not have a clue about the bondage in which they were enslaved. They just didn't understand. They think that they were free as the deer that we saw this morning. They thought they were as free as the hummingbird flies past and lights upon the feeder. But they were not free. The truth is that lost man today is very, very deceived about his real condition. He doesn't think that he's enslaved. He feels that he's fine. But the problem is that the truth about the matter is that he is imprisoned by Satan, his father. And that in spite of himself, he freely serves him. In spite of what he thinks, he goes on with what he's doing without thinking or having the fear of God before his eyes. Now, as we read the next text in Romans, the chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, we'll see that man is without excuse. You that are here this evening that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin are definitely enslaved, even though you think that you're free. Starting with verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In other words, the Apostle Paul did not fear man, whether Jew or Gentile. He was not ashamed to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had experienced a tremendous change in his life. One that was very enlightening. One that he even lost his sight. He couldn't see for a few days there. And God opened his eyes when Ananias went to him and laid his hands upon him and recovered his sight. He fell down on the road to Damascus and he saw light shining and he spoke. He spoke to God. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this? And we know what Paul was trying to do. Saul was on his way to capture Christians and put them in prison. And we know in one place it says he even killed them, saw them to the death. But that man was changed completely in this one encounter with Jesus Christ. Turned him around. And so he comes to this book now and he's writing and he says, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell you something about Jesus that he did for me and that he can do for you. That he can do for you. Verse 17, for there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now we all know that we don't want to face the wrath of God. Do you? Would you like to face the wrath of God? Would you like to be justly judged for your sins? No, we need mercy. We need mercy. We need grace. But some people will see the wrath of God poured out upon them. Who are these people that the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon? All those who are not free in Christ Jesus. If you are not free in Christ, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, you then, when you die without Him, will experience His wrath. For the wrath of God, verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Notice, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You do not have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. You can't tell me. You can't stand before God and say, I didn't know. You know. You have a head knowledge of what's going to happen to you if you die in your sins. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, this evening, the Lord willing, with the Word of God, we will try to show how one may be made free in Christ. To be made free in Christ. Of course, we notice in our text, in John 8, that the Jews said in verse 33 that they were never in bondage to any man. But as I've already mentioned, that's not true. For we can see that they had been in bondage for many years, and God said it would be that way because of their unbelief and rebellion. But they thought they were free. You may think this evening that you're free, but you're not free if you're not saved. Brother John Gill said of this passage, when they said, and were never in bondage to any man, which is, as he says, a very great falsehood. For it was declared to Abraham himself that his seed should serve in a land not theirs. In other words, in bondage. They didn't have their own place. And that they would be afflicted for 400 years, as they were, and as the preface of the law, to the law which the Jews gloried in shows, which says that the Lord their God brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and they were frequently overcome by their neighbors, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Philistines. And reduced, this nation was reduced to servitude unto them until delivered by one judge or another. And not to take notice of their 70 years captivity in Babylon. They were at this very time when they said this under the yoke of the Romans. And they paid tribute to Caesar. And yet, such was the pride in their hearts. And they would not accept the fact that they were in bondage. Lost man today, dead in trespasses and sins, with no light, no life, spiritual life, feels the same way. I'm free! No, you're not free. You're not free. The Bible says you're not free. These people, the Jewish nation, were also in bondage to the letter of the law, as well as their pride and their unbelief. The Son of God is the only one who can make one free, truly free in Him. He has made us free from the power of our enemies. They may kill the body, but they can't touch the soul. They can't touch the soul. We can think of Stephen's case as he preached. And after he preached eloquently, a long message, the Jewish nation was so angry with him that they took him out and stoned him to death. And Saul, Brother Paul, was standing there holding his clothes as they stoned him. The clothes of those that were stoning him. Consenting to his death. Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of God, which will never condemn us because we have been forgiven eternally. As Christians, we're free from the condemnation of the law. We obey the Lord, the law of the Lord, because we love its giver. And this freedom that He gives us is a freedom which never extends or gives license to break the commandments of God. Never, never. You and I have been made free from the fear of an eternity in hell. I don't fear hell any longer. When I was 15, 16 years old, before I was saved, I feared hell. But I don't fear it no longer. Why? Because He's made me free in Him. I know He's given me faith to believe that when I die, I will be with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then we see that He makes us free from the pride of life because we know and acknowledge that God is the giver of all things that we possess. Everything. And so it's so wonderful when we can have this freedom and with boldness can say that He is saved, that you can say with an open mind and open heart and in gladness in your heart that I'm saved and I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. My personal Savior. Do you have that freedom this evening? Can you say that you know Him in the freedom of sin? That you've been set free. In the book of Romans, once again, we look at chapter 10. At chapter 10, and we've read various verses in this book during the week, but we go back to that chapter once again in chapter 10, and starting in verse 9 through 17. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you want freedom? Do you want freedom? Confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And so, that's another freedom that we have. We're not going to be ashamed to name Christ. We're going to tell others about Him. Paul said clearly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We should not either. We should be happy and joyous in knowing this Savior. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all that is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all heard, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now every one of you present, just about every one of you, during this week, and I'm sure many, possibly hundreds of times before, you've heard with your outer ear. It has... Maybe you even have these verses memorized in school. That you've had to write them out longhand and you know you can quote them. But what we want, it's not just head knowledge. But it reaches down further than that. That it creates within you a longing for Christ. A longing to be forgiven. a longing to be freed in Him. God gives us the courage and the boldness to express what He has done in our lives. In Romans 9:33, "Behold, it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." He will be free to express what he believes about Jesus. Philippians 1, verse 14. Philippians 1, 14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." They saw what Paul went through. They felt possibly sorry for him because he was with handcuffs, maybe chains on his legs, I'm not sure. At time imprisoned. And they, by seeing Paul in that condition, courage and boldness grew in them. They were waxing confident, knowing that what Paul was teaching was the truth, and now that it spread to them, they were getting bold. In verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love." This is the one that he was pleased with, one that God was pleased with. "The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, I gave my testimony about being called to preach during this week. Not all of it, but part of it. And it's true that he has given me boldness as the years go on, to be able to stand before a congregation of people, whether it's 5 or if it's 200, and preach the gospel boldly. In fear and trembling, yes, but boldly. He has broken the bonds of my lips. He's given me freedom in Him to tell the truth about what He wants you to hear. I didn't have that freedom when I was 30 years old. Scared to death to talk to people. Scared to death. It wasn't the way that I thought all things would turn out. But God has ways of working in the one that wasn't expected to be the preacher. Now, my brother David, everybody thought David was going to be the preacher. He did. Flamboyant. Everybody loved David. David ended up the Pentecostal. Yeah. Speaking in tongues. On a whole bunch more stuff. What happened? He took the one that couldn't talk and he called him. And I scratched my head and I thought, "Lord, are you sure? Are you sure?" Not like the guy that saw in the sky PC and started preaching. Because he thought it meant preach Christ, and it was, the sign was plow corn. After he tried for a while. But freedom in Christ is when he gives you liberty to serve. Liberty to love him. Liberty to enjoy Christ. Enjoy the things of God. And 1 Peter 4:16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." The freedom that we enjoy as Christians is glorious. Glorious. I'll tell you something that happened in Honduras. One day, I was preaching in the little mud building that we were renting for $7.50 a month. Tin roof. It's about the size of these pews right here. And it had a little bit, I made the pews short enough so I had a little aisleway down the center, I believe. I can't remember right now. Are there 6 foot and we had an aisle on one side? I just can't remember right now. But I know that I could not move from my position because there was children all around me. There was a window there, and a window over here. It was a termite-eaten building. It eventually fell down, by the way. But we preached there. And Sylvia counted as high as 120 people in and around that building during our services. In one service, I looked up and I saw in the back window back there, I saw, we got a new visitor. A new visitor, praise the Lord. And when the service stopped, a little boy about that big came up to me and he says, "Hermano Teodoro, Brother Theodore, you can't go home tonight." And I said, "Why?" He says, "There's a big woman and three people from the FBI of Honduras looking for you to kidnap Connie and to kill you on the road. They're telling that around the village. Don't go home." And so we didn't go home that night. Think it was smart? Of course it was. So we, as we had done many times, took two pews, like turned this pew around and put one without a back in the middle. We laid our cushions on top of it. We slept through the night. Got up in the morning, and we started out our way. And we get to a place called Playa Peru, and there those four had been waiting for us to waylay us in the road all night long. You count it all joy when you suffer for Christ's name. It wasn't easy. I got a phone call from a banker, friend of ours in Tegucigalpa, and he said, "Ted, is your problem still going on?" I said, "Yes, it is," and I explained that. He said, "I'll be there." A Roman Catholic helped us out of that situation. A whole lot more to the story, but what I'm trying to get to you is we will suffer for Christ's sake. There are things that we will go through that we'll say, "Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing?" And many of Ted's friends, like Job's friends, told me, "Ted, you need to go home." Our children were already sent home because of except for Connie, because of the problem that existed. And I said, "The Lord has sent me to Honduras. I have just had enough Spanish to have liberty in the Spanish language. The work is just now growing, and this is the devil trying to get me out of it, because he didn't want another work established in real estate. He didn't want a work established in real estate then." And we made the decision to stay. And we made the right decision. In spite of others saying, "Go home." Why? Because God gave me freedom in my heart to say, to do what He had sent me there to do. And we stayed there many years after that by God's amazing grace. Now, first of all, this evening, our time is already gone. I don't know what happened all the time, brother, but first of all, what this freedom is not. Now, I'm going to go quickly through this as the Lord leads. We are not free as Christians from bodily suffering. We all know that because all of us have something wrong with us. Almost. If you don't thank the Lord, there are a lot of evidence. There is a lot of evidence in Scripture which shows the Lord's people suffering affliction. But because they were called into this persuasion. We can look at Hebrews for a moment. Let's just turn there quickly. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11 and verse 25. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong verse. Speaking of Moses still. But Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Some commentators have said that he was in line to be Pharaoh, and he chose not to accept that high position, but chose to be named with the Jewish nation. They had suffered pain and hunger and sickness and death for what they believed. We can think of Paul's sufferings in 2 Corinthians 7:4. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, we see Paul crying out to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Chapter 11, look with me. Chapter 11, verse 20. For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 195 stripes he received. Thrice, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false men. Man, the man suffered. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, which weighs heavier than those physical sufferings. The care of the church. People that are not pastors many times do not understand what goes on inside of us preachers. When we are caring for the flock, worried about every problem, every person in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not free from divine chastisement. We know that without correction, one is not a son of God. And we talked about that this week over in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 14. We are not free from the temptation of Satan either. The Lord was tempted and did not fall. But you and I could be tempted and fall because we are still in this flesh which is sinful. James 1:2 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Job was put to the test. In all his sufferings, in all of his losses, he did not curse God. I came into this world naked, I'm going to go out naked, is what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we're not free from the presence of sin yet. And so there's a lot of things that Christians are not free from. But what is this freedom in Christ Jesus? It is to be made free from the curse of the law. We are free from the curse of the law. Look at Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3. In verses 10 through 13, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. In other words, Christ Jesus took our curse upon Himself and made us free. Gave us freedom. The Apostle Paul clearly told us that the law was holy. It was just as good. The law being a reflection of the divine character. In Christ, the Christian is free from the condemnation of the law of God. Only the lost sinner will be under its condemnation. Did you hear what I said, young, lost people? Only the lost will be under the condemnation of the law. We Christians are free from the guilt of sin or the divine eternal punishment of it. We ask God to forgive us our sins, and away goes the guilt. If it comes back, it's because you're dwelling upon it. Remember, Christ said, if you confess your faults, that He's going to forgive them. Remember that. Hold on to it. Don't dig it back up. It's buried. It's buried. We trust God has done what He said He will do, and that is forgive us. You are forgiven. In Romans 8:33-34 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He is the one that justifieth us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even now at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But you that are lost can't say that. You can't claim that. It's not yours until you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. This freedom also includes that we are free from the dominion of sin in our lives. In Romans 6:6-14 speaks of sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. We don't serve sin any longer. The Christian doesn't serve sin. If you do, you better repent of it or God's going to chasten you. He will correct you. Or in other words, we that are born again, we that are free in Christ Jesus, walk in newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, free from the chains of enslavement to the god of this old world. Next, We are free from the dominion of the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You and I that are born again are not under the power of the darkness of the world. We are now children of the light. We are free from the fear of man. Are we? Do we fear man? Do we fear man? I think sometimes we do. Sometimes we put man up here where God ought to be in our lives. We need to face man straight on, head on. Head on. He's not bigger than us. He might have more money. He might have a bigger position. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We should not be fearful of man because we put our Lord first and we know that He's going to take care of us no matter what man may say. Look with me in Acts. The book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And verses 18 and 20. Acts 4, 18 to 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. And what did they do? They went out and preached. They were free to do so. We are free to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man tells us not to do it. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Go ahead. Go ahead and preach. It doesn't matter if they throw us in jail. In jail we can preach. Paul did. Why can't we? We are free from the sting of death. And it is not so bitter. We can understand that it is only God who permits one to die. Isn't that right? I know of cases where people tried to commit suicide and couldn't. And live years and years later. God is the only one that has control. He controls the life strings of every one of us. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the responsibility of the freed. We must honor our Father and not bring dishonor to His holy name. Because the Scriptures teach us so clearly, in 1 John 3:3, and we've read this verse probably who knows how many times this week. And every man that hath this hope in Him, in Jesus Christ, purifieth himself even as He is pure. We do not want to dishonor our Lord. We want to keep our word. We want to stand before people that they have no way that they can accuse us of evil doing. We want to avoid all appearances of evil in our lives. My. A person can ruin their testimony by just saying one or two words. And who are they going to believe? Even the accusation of impropriety can cause a man to lose his testimony. It might be wrong. It might be a lie. But it has ruined many people. That's why we cannot in any way put ourselves in a position to be accused wrongly or rightly. We need to be careful. We must be good servants of the King of Kings, for He is our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7, 22-24 says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are not, but not ye the servants of men," it says. "Brethren, let every man wherewith he is called, therein abide with God." You that are lost this evening are not free. Are not free. Are not free. I want to impress that upon you. You are enslaved to do that which does not please God. You are a sinner and need to repent. And then we must worship and serve the Lord alone. It is our privilege, but at the same time, we are commanded in God's Word to worship God and He alone. It is our responsibility as well as our loving desire to serve Him with our whole hearts. We are freed from the world to worship Christ and God. We are not chained to Satan any longer, but free to serve the Lord and not this world and follow its devices. We can live this Christian life in Christ. By ourself alone, no. But in Christ we can. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus." 1 Peter 4, 2 says, "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Do you live your life to the will of God? For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We used to follow that old way. But now in Christ Jesus we're set free from the bondage of sin. And we're set to be servants of Jesus Christ. No more servants here in this world, but servants of Christ. How does He make us free? You that are lost here this evening, follow me now. We that are saved have been made free. He has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Everyone that is without Christ walks in darkness until this hour. You will continue to walk in darkness and not in light as long as you follow the old course of this world. You must repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your only personal Savior, the only one that can save you. He draws us unto Himself with a call of love, and we come voluntarily because He changes our direction of love and life to live for Him. We want to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Our God also brings peace and rest to the weary sinner who, being drawn, leans upon Him, rests upon Him, believes in Him, and is transformed by Him. Oh, what sweet rest we have in Jesus. When we can lay our head up on our pillow and say, "Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for loving me. Forgive me where I failed Thee." And close our eyes in peace and in pure freedom, knowing that if we don't raise our head off that pillow again, we're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Lost man and woman, boy and girl, don't have that. They don't have that assurance. They just don't have it. He brings peace and rest to the weary sinner. That's how you can be free. Who being drawn leans upon Him, rests upon Him, believes in Him, and is transformed by Him once again. There's no better peace, joy, and rest but in Jesus Christ. Then last of all, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He gives us the desire to serve Him with our lives for the rest of our lives. And it continues to grow. Our love continues to grow. Our spirituality continues to grow. Our sanctification continues to grow as we read, study, attend church, and pray and are obedient to His will. This evening, are you free in Christ? Are you free in Christ? Do you know Him as your only personal Savior? Do you know Him? Do you talk to Him? Do you love Him? Do you love His Word? Oh, if you don't, there's only one way of salvation. And you know what it is. You've been told it over and over. You could probably preach a message about it. But I'm going to tell you once again, repent of your sins and believe the gospel. I have no other message of salvation. That Jesus Christ shed His precious blood, went to that cruel cross voluntarily, gave His life, was buried, died and was buried, and rose again the third day. If you believe that He did that for you, praise God. Can you believe this evening? Can you trust Him? Can you rely upon Him and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. I can't do it. And just say, Lord, save me. Save me. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Do you want freedom? Trust Him. Brother Reynolds.